are emerging now from the darkest time of the year, and from the time when many traditions celebrate the return of increased light. It is a time for hope and a time for new beginnings. However, it is also a time when many of us feel fragile or broken. It is a time when we wrestle with darkness, when the short, cold days of winter seem to reflect something inside of us, some grief or loss that perhaps we haven't been paying attention to, haven't allowed ourselves to bring fully into the light where we can face it head on. This still dark time of the year, but with the promise of returning light, is an opportunity for us in this safe place to gently explore what that might be for us. When I signed up to lead this Sunday's worship service back in the fall, I had no idea how timely this monthly theme of brokenness would be. It is a universal, timeless theme, a theme about a fundamental reality of life as human beings. And yet, this January, it is especially poignant because we see so much brokenness around us. And that reflects the brokenness, acknowledged or unacknowledged, that lies within us as well. Who, me, broken, we may ask, if things happen to be going well for us right now. Yes. Us, broken. I believe that most human beings, maybe even all of us, or at least all of us over a certain age, are to one degree or another broken. Now, by broken, I do not mean flawed. I do not mean sinful or unworthy. I do not mean irreparably damaged. What I do mean is that each of us bears the scars of the lives we have lived. And if we do not heal the wounds within ourselves, then we stay in a place of brokenness, not only without the relief of healing for ourselves, but also less fully able to heal anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Considering the amount of healing that our world needs, and our strong desire as Unitarian Universalists to be a part of that healing, this is no small topic for us to consider. This year in particular, whether or not we have suffered personal losses, we probably feel sadness and even a sense of hopelessness over events in our world. For many of us, the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut just before the holidays has left lingering bruises on our spirits as we wrestle with questions about why it happened, how it might have been prevented, and how to address the violence in our culture. We witnessed the grief of those who lost loved ones, especially those who lost their young children, something we find more shocking and heartbreaking than we can adequately articulate. It reawakened the pain that we felt about the Aurora movie theater shooting in the summer and Jessica Ridgway's abduction and murder in the fall. Sadly, those were not the only tragedies of this past year, just a few of the most widely publicized. They struck chords of fear and loss in us. Who among us hasn't gone to a movie theater with loved ones? Who among us doesn't have a child, a grandchild, a niece or nephew or neighbor's child who walks to school along a familiar route each day? It is so easy to imagine ourselves in the shoes of those families and to feel some echo of the pain and grief they experience. And for many, the shootings in Aurora and Connecticut and elsewhere in the country brought back memories of Columbine, another tragedy that happened not far from here. A friend of mine who lives near Columbine and whose children attended the school at the time of that shooting has been emotionally rocked again and again as each new shooting happens, questioning why we can't seem to find a way to stop the violence. She is not alone in feeling her heart break open with each new story. Places in us that were wounded in the past are so vulnerable to being broken open again with a new trauma, so that there are layers of pain and brokenness underneath whatever the current event may be. We just seem to get back to normal after one trauma or loss, and another comes along and complicates it. It can be overwhelming, even for those of us not experiencing the events ourselves. The year that just ended did, of course, also bring personal traumas to many of us. Loved ones died or faced serious illness. Marriages ended. Jobs were lost. For a lot of people, here and elsewhere, it was a rough year. Brokenness doesn't always arrive in a single event, an act of violence, or an instance of loss. Sometimes it happens as a growing awareness of something broken in our own lives or in our society, broken ways of interacting with each other as humans, broken marriage vows, broken trust in a friendship or with a family member, broken systems of justice, of immigration, of mental health care, of education. There is so much brokenness that at times it is overwhelming to even let ourselves see it, let alone figure out how to respond, how to move forward. In her book, Finding Beauty in a Broken World, Terry Tempest Williams wrote about September 11th, 2001, and its aftermath. She said, "We watched the towers collapse. We watched America choose war. The peace in our own hearts shattered. How to pick up the pieces? What to do with these pieces? How do we begin to pick up the pieces, to put ourselves, our loved ones, our communities back together when we feel shattered by events like these?" An image that is helpful to me when thinking of brokenness is that of a mosaic. Part of the usefulness of this metaphor is the recognition that after something is broken, it will never be the way it was before. It may be repaired, but it will always bear the evidence of having been broken. Think of a delicate teacup, perhaps a family heirloom. If it is broken, it may be glued back together, but if you look closely enough, you will see the fracture lines. Similarly, when we have emotional or spiritual injuries, we eventually heal, but we are not the same as we were before. We are changed by what we experienced. Rather than trying to hide or deny those changes, what if we accept them as part of becoming who we are now? Instead of trying to glue ourselves back into our old shape, what if we make a mosaic out of the pieces? One of the biggest shatterings in my life was my divorce just over 2 years ago. The marriage had been slowly disintegrating for years, but still the moment of his leaving was a breaking I was not fully prepared for. In the process of picking up the pieces in the days and months that followed, it was obvious that I would not get my old life back, that things would never again be the way they were before, that dreams I had clung to in the bad times were now not ever going to come true. In my head, for a while, things were divided into capital B before and capital A after. In some ways, I knew that after was healthier and safer for both me and my son, but that didn't make it easy. It took time for me to begin to enjoy the process of creating the mosaic that is our life now. During that time of slow healing, every small loss or disappointment was a reminder of the bigger loss of the divorce, a trigger for renewed feelings of grief. Now I can look back on some of those stories and smile gently or maybe even laugh at myself with the wisdom that comes from distance. That's one of the truths about mosaics. To really see the beauty in them, you have to have some distance. You have to stand back and look at the whole thing, not just one small section of fragments glued together. I am not saying that the mosaic, the after, is necessarily better than the before. Sometimes, as with my divorce, it is. Sometimes it is not. Certainly, for the parents in Newtown, it is not. I do not intend my image of a beautiful mosaic to imply that what we make from the pieces is worth the brokenness. But brokenness is a fact of life. We all will be broken, not just once, but many times in varying degrees. What we choose to do after the brokenness is up to us. After we mourn, after we allow ourselves to be held by those who love us, after we honor the brokenness by not hiding it or pretending it did not happen, we choose what to make from the pieces. And that is, in truth, a process that we never complete. There will be new breakings, new pieces to add to the mosaic that is each of us, and to the mosaic that is any community of human beings. The first step in creating any mosaic is deciding what pieces to use, what from before fits into your vision of after, what is it time to let go of. Imagine making a mosaic from broken pieces of china, not neat, tidy square tiles that you've purchased at a craft store, but fragments of things you love or once loved. A floral teacup that was your great-grandmother's, a dinner plate from your parents' wedding china, a coffee mug your child painted in kindergarten. All precious to you, but all damaged over time. Now they can be part of something new. You won't use the damaged places in your mosaic. You will use parts where the design is intact, where the beauty shows. Perhaps some of the plain areas, too, will be incorporated into the mosaic. In the finished mosaic, it won't be cracks you see, but a new design. Maybe right now, you are not ready to think about making something new. Maybe the edges of your broken pieces are still too tender, still too jagged for you to handle safely. If that is the case, please be gentle with yourself. It may take time before you can even face looking at those broken treasures, before you will be ready to craft them into something new. This, too, is part of the process. If we move too quickly into the construction of the new, without allowing ourselves time to feel the loss of the old, we are not doing ourselves any favors and are not likely to be happy with the result. Healing cannot be rushed. Not if it is to be true healing. When you are ready to examine the pieces of your old life, of the old you, it can be empowering to realize that you are the one choosing what to carry forward. Some of what you include in your metaphorical mosaic may be things intact from your old life, your life before, traditions you still love, people who are important to you, values you still hold dear, your sense of humor. Other pieces of the mosaic may be things you didn't consciously see before, your own strength, the resilience of a child, your ability to continue living and loving. Equally important are the pieces you choose not to include. Anger and bitterness are at the top of my own personal list of what I chose to throw out. Not that I'll never feel them again, but I chose not to let them be a constant presence in my life after. Once you know what you want to include in your mosaic, you will begin to shape it. It takes time and patience and trial and error before it begins to come together in a way that feels right. What then is the glue that enables us to finally make that happen? For some, the answer is found in religion. At times when I have felt particularly broken, I have often envied my childhood friend Cindy the comfort she finds in her Christian faith. She is able to say with sincerity that the beginning to her healing is to give it over to God. This does not mean that she abdicates responsibility for her life, but it means she can let go, trust that God is the glue holding her life together. However, that's not my personal theology, and so when I am feeling broken, I do not turn to a God who I believe will heal my brokenness, but to myself and to communities of support, my family, my friends, my church community, people with whom I feel safe and loved, no matter how broken I feel. So one glue is love. For Cindy, God's love, as well as that of people in her life. For me, the love of my son, my parents, my friends. For us as a community, the love we have for each other. Perhaps even if we do not find it useful to imagine putting our broken selves into God's hands as Cindy does, we can still find spiritual practice a useful glue in creating the mosaic from the pieces. Maybe that means prayer or meditation. Maybe it means being in nature. Maybe it means yoga or some other embodied practice. Maybe it means journaling or writing poetry or listening to beautiful music. Whatever it is that connects each of us to something that gives us strength, whether that's a higher power or the natural world or a still strong core within us. Community rituals, too, can help us make a mosaic from our broken pieces. I am thinking particularly of our annual Day of Remembrance in the fall, at which people bring photos of loved ones they lost that year. What is that if not a mosaic of love made from broken hearts? And our candles of community each Sunday, as well as the sharing of them by email with those not physically present in church that week, is another mosaic in which we share both that which breaks us and that which makes us whole. Love, community, spiritual practice, all of these things can be our glue, can be what gives us the strength to make mosaics out of brokenness. No, life will never be the same. But when I think of brokenness, one of the concepts that echoes in my head is that of a heart being broken wide open. Broken hearts are not fun. But once our hearts have been broken open by grief for ourselves or for others, even distant others we have not ever met, there is more room for love and compassion. Eventually, we feel whole again, though in a new way. And our knowledge of what it feels like to be broken enables us to be someone else's glue when it is their turn to make shards into art. May it be so.